Long before iTunes even, we applied for patents. When we were imagining first this business model in the software world for B2B, the patents actually covered digital consumer content. So long before there were even these models to think about issues in, we were thinking about how this model could have an advantage. And then over time, as we saw these new models coming out, the streaming all-you-can-eat model gaining traction, we really thought about, you know, the challenges many companies have. You look at the music industry turning a profit. and we're really seeing additionally, as more and more types of bundling is being released, that this is a perfect model to resolve those issues.
To have the tenacity to want to compete against Spotify, Pandora, Apple, or even Amazon, it's got to be one of the most crazy things that any founder could do. Well, luckily, we're going to have a conversation with a founder that is doing just that. Stephanie Scapa is really taking on the behemoths of this world. She's taking on the platforms, and she's making her own platform, this company called Wave, where people can consume audio, they can consume books, and all kinds of other material right inside of their own ecosystem. And it's pretty incredible. And I think for you as a founder, as a listener, you're going to be able to hear this episode and take away a few insights, things that are going to really help you to grow your business. You're also going to understand why simplicity and focus on the right things make all the difference. So let's jump into this episode with Stephanie.
Our app is called Wave, W-E-Y-V. And basically, this is a platform for streaming and downloading digital consumer content. So music, magazines, podcasts, ebooks, hopefully watch content coming soon. And so, yeah, as you said, we are absolutely taking on Spotify, Apple, Google, basically anybody large in the marketplace. And the challenge for sure, as you mentioned, is the investment just to get started. So when you're going after not just one industry like music, but multiple where you've got ebooks and magazines in addition, there is some investment needed to be available in order to have the content that is necessary to compete. And the development in order to really make your app something competitive in the marketplace.
So what made you decide to do this? Because this isn't a normal entrepreneur.
It's a wonderful question. So the history of Wave is that we have a parent company that owns us, and that company is named Altair. And Altair applies this business model in the B2B, the business-to-business segment for software. So Altair is basically a company that has been around 30 plus years and has had quite a bit of success in the simulation and visualization software space. So if you think, designing and simulating planes, trains, automobiles, even your Nike shoes use our software. And so the idea of distributing the software under this business model has been applied now within the Altair ecosystem for 20 years or so. And the next step that Altair took was adding third-party software applications that could be distributed under the same model. It's a units-based model. And so that's been around for about 10 years now. And since we've had such a great success with the B2B market, we really looked out and saw the consumer market and thought about how there are many challenges in the way other players are trying to go to market with all these different types of content. And this model helps resolve that. So if you look at, as an example, a company that does bundling of multi-content, because that's one of the things we really feel like consumers want. Many consumers are not just purchasing streaming for music. They also have video and ebooks and potentially magazines and so forth. And so the challenge, if you look at Amazon, who does bundling as well, is they can't release the full catalog of music under their model, as an example for Prime Music, because the cost to them is too high. And the same thing with video, everything that they put under the Prime portfolio there is limited because everything ends up being a cost to them, and there's no way to distinguish between the different levels of the content. So when you've got a flat bundle, even if it's just music, if it's an all-you-can-eat model, every piece of content is effectively priced at the same price point, which makes it a very challenging model to grow and allow over time here the discrepancy. So for us, what we've looked at is a units model where you can price the content at different levels. So some of our magazines are 10 wave units, others are 5, but it's all about simultaneous usage. And so you get sort of that all-you-can-eat aspect of being able to have access to the entire portfolio, but it's all about what you're trying to do at one time and with your group.
Okay, that's interesting. So did you guys spot the weaknesses in the Amazon ecosystem, or, you know, be it in other platforms, and say this is something you wanted to tackle? Or how did you come about making that decision?
So actually, it was long before that, long before iTunes even, we applied for patents when we were imagining first this business model in the software world for B2B. The patents actually covered digital consumer content. So long before there were even these models to think about issues in, we were thinking about how this model could have an advantage. And then over time, as we saw these new models coming out, the streaming all-you-can-eat model gaining traction, we really thought about, you know, the challenges many companies have. You look at the music industry turning a profit, and we're really seeing additionally, as more and more types of bundling is being released, that this is a perfect model to resolve those issues.
Okay. Now, you are talking in the terms of patents. So I've done some homework. Altair started over 30 years ago, now over 2,000 employees, 40 offices, some of the leading tech out there. Did the tech, the patents that you have on this tech, is that something that you now license out to others, or is it something you just waited for the marketplace to catch up and now you want to implement?
So for us, nobody else on the consumer side uses our patents for sure. This is, we were just sort of waiting for the right opportunity. And we felt like, you know, we needed to give the market some time to continue to evolve. And so now we're coming to market with this idea that we really think is the right time, because you're now seeing a good adoption where users are starting to understand the concept of streaming and interested in starting to explore the right platform to do that on. So for us, when we look at who we're targeting as an end user, we're actually not targeting millennials and the younger generation. More than welcome, of course, on our platform. But for us, we're targeting actually an older generation. So 35 years plus, we'll say, where they haven't really yet picked a streaming platform. And if you look across the numbers in the market, you know, many of these users are starting to explore streaming platforms and starting to sign up. And roughly, you know, 25% of them now are. But over time, we're expecting to be able to gather more and more of those users, because we target more of a family approach. We've got kids content included and segregated and set up to be very family friendly. When you subscribe to Wave, you can actually add up to 25 people into your group, no additional cost when you're adding a new person, because it's all based on the simultaneous usage. So it gives us a little bit of a different angle going to market.
Okay. So a lot of platforms, you know, we use Amazon as an example. They've gone this route where they're buying their own exclusive content. And you're seeing that happen with Spotify and other platforms. Is that something you guys want to do, or do you want to
maintain.
So it's certainly an interesting topic because you are seeing that, you know, in different platforms and different industries take a different approach. You see a very strong approach on exclusive content in the video market, but much less so in the music market. Most users are really not committing to one platform or another based on one artist and so forth. They're looking for the largest catalog or the best user experience or so forth. So for us, and I'll get to some of my beliefs here in a minute probably, but you know, we believe in having to be agile and adjust accordingly. So this may shift, but at the moment, we don't view that the market, the best way for us to go to market is with exclusive content. We think that being open and inclusive and having as much content in the platform is going to be the best way to give the users what they want.
Up next, Stephanie is going to share what she feels is the most important thing to focus on in your business. And I think that what she's talking about is going to be applicable to any business owner out there. She also explains why simplification is at the top of her mind for the user experience. And why, as a business owner, be it if you're in service business, or you have a product or whatever that may be, why simplification is absolutely critical.
What I think is most important for a new startup or a new company in market, and even an older one, to be honest, is the ability to change and to be agile based on the needs of the user and the market and the evolution that happens. Because the reality is you can't predict what's going to happen. I mean, I think if you look back 30 years ago, the concept of streaming, nobody ever would have thought that this would have grown to be the level it is today, where it's really taking over from, you know, purchasing an album or a vinyl and so forth. And so it's my belief that you really have to pay attention, listen to your users, listen to the market, and see what's happening in order to adjust and be agile around it. And so, you know, certainly you're seeing the shift, and this is probably what you're getting at on the music side, where you're seeing more and more Spotify's and Sirius and other players that are looking at owning content. And there's a big difference, I would say, in like Sirius looking at owning Universal's catalog that they're looking to spin out from Vivendi versus doing an exclusive 1 month deal to have that content on your platform, you know, that artist only on your platform for that first month, and so forth. But there are certainly some changes and some things being tested in the market. But I think it's still pretty early. And I think that there are certain things that may work better than others. But it's a balance, because even what Spotify is doing on allowing artists to sign up directly in their platform is a bit of a, it's a challenge for them to find the balance to allow that and to work with the labels that currently own all of the records that they're interested in, so to speak. And so it's really, it's not that simple of a path, I would say. Not to say that you should take the simple path, but you know, there are certainly complexities on both sides.
For sure. Getting to complexity, like the business and the model that you're doing, on a scale of like 0 to 10, 10 being like the most complex, I think you guys are at like a 15. you know, it's something.
Yep.
I look at it, and I've been involved in a lot of similar industries, and there are so many moving pieces. So as a co-founder of the company and, you know, essentially the person that's running this, where is your mind right now, and how are you focused on continually growing? Like, what are you having to do on a daily basis?
So I think the biggest thing, because our model is complex, is to try to simplify it as much as we can for users. And so the first thing being offering free trial, free access, so that a user gets the opportunity to see how it works themselves rather than just hearing about it. Hearing me talk about it, it's complicated to explain, and explain how we pay out artists and so forth is a whole nother level. But the reality of the user is that you want access to the broad portfolio of content, and the goal is to give you the flexibility to access all the different types of content and the different levels, whether it's something that was released yesterday or something that was released 3 years ago. You want to be able to pick and choose what you want. And so the key for us is simplification in that sense. And I think, you know, once a user is in the app, it's a lot easier to just see and to feel, you know, here's everything I have access to. If I add new people to my group, it's really, we think about it like a library card where you're checking in and out content. And if you check content back in, other users are able to check that content out. And so it can really be simplified. And that's really top of mind for us, is making sure that we're not overcomplicating things for users. And the second for us right now is all about building an app that has a strong user experience and is really gonna have the content that users are looking for. So we're constantly adding new content. You know, I mentioned before we began that there's gonna be podcasts that are coming, and you've seen, if you've tracked us over the last, you know, 8-9 months here, we're constantly adding new content, adding ebooks, you know, so forth. So that's a really big top of mind item right now.
Okay. And for you, how about, let's go to the complexity of actually growing the business. You're obviously, you're doing podcasts, you're doing media appearances. Are you trying to form strategic partnerships? Or are you doing what all the buzzword is of working with influencers, or where is the focus of that growth?
Yeah, it's a balance for sure. There's of course strategic partnerships. Our parent company is really a strong believer in strategic partnerships and believes that, you know, you can find relationships that are mutually beneficial. So of course we're always looking and trying to develop new strategic partnerships. We do, on the marketing side, work with influencers. Particularly for us, our target on the influencer side is more about a relatable family. And so it hasn't been really, let's focus on getting the latest, greatest celebrity, and let's focus on real people that have real families that take advantage of the app and are loving us. And so that's been really our target, our more micro influencers. And where we can get good feedback on how to make improvements in the app and how to continue to evolve it. Because for us, we look at this as very much a long-term play where we expect, you know, we're going to continue to evolve and make changes. And we always compare ourselves to the Microsofts of the world, where it may not be perfect out the gate, but we're going to continue to trudge along and make the changes that are required so that we can be the top in the market over time.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, Stephanie, this is something for me as a founder and as a business owner. I look at it and so much respect for someone that's willing to jump in and do this. But I don't know a lot of people that have the skill that it takes or the tenacity to go all the way in. And so what is it right now? What is the biggest obstacles? What are the biggest obstacles that you're facing?
I would say the biggest obstacles we face are trying to determine the right next type of content that's going to be meaningful and balance that with the cost of the content. So, you know, if you think about it, many users, you would think the next type of content based on what we have in the app would be video. And we actually surveyed and discovered that the next type of content that users were most requesting were podcasts. And so that's why we went with podcasts as our next type of content rather than video. But as you start to get into the video, you start to look at a different level of commitment. And so trying to balance the growth of users with the growth on the additional content side is certainly the biggest challenge for us, I would say.
Wow. Okay. I think that's something all of us could look at. I was reading something that Derek Sievers, he founded CD Baby, And he said that most of us in the business world are about thinking of ways that we can add to the marketplace or add to whatever it may be. And he said that the real success is when we take away, and that's how we increase our focus. And so it's admirable how you're willing to say, okay, video's not right currently. We're going towards podcasts.
Yeah, it's a tough choice, but I feel like, you know, hopefully when we release podcasts next month, it'll all be worth it.
For sure. What should I have asked you that we didn't get around to?
Good question. I think maybe the biggest question you missed is more around the data side. So I think that one of the biggest things as a startup we need to be paying attention to is not just what users are saying, but what they're actually doing. Because even for us, we see a really big discrepancy on what users say they like most about the app and what they use most. And so I think that a good question would have been around, you know, what discrepancies there are and how do you determine those? Because as many people have often said, you have to find the balance of listening to the user and knowing what they want. And I think you can find that with the data.
Okay. And are there, what is the key data that you're looking at? If you have like a couple core KPIs, what are those things?
The biggest being active users. So looking at, you know, how many users are active in the app, how many users are converting. I mean, the standard ones. But for us, one of the ones that is different is looking at the balance of the different types of content. So how many users and how much time is being spent by users in music versus magazines versus ebooks and soon to be podcasts. And so it's important for us to understand that. And it may not be a reflection of interest. It may be a reflection of how the app is structured and where we're putting people and the attention we're focused on and so forth. And so for us, it's been really interesting to see some of the differences along the way and to adjust accordingly.
Okay. Well, Stephanie, this was a great conversation. One that I hope that our listeners check out and they understand the complexities of a business and the importance of simplifying. And then I'm so glad that we had that final piece of understanding the data. Is Wave obviously is open to the public. I know that because I downloaded it. I have an account. I've tried it out.
Wonderful.
So I'm done my homework. I'm doing my part of that. For our listeners on the podcast, they can go to Wave, weyv.com. Are there any special tips that you should give first listeners that will help shortcut their learning experience?
Well, the biggest one being we're offering a free promo code for 2 months for the first 500 listeners who enter it. So it's BizGrowth, BizGrowth.
Excellent. All right. And we'll make sure to put that inside of the show notes for our listeners. And Stephanie, I want to thank you for being a guest on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Having Stephanie on the show and hearing a founder that's taking on the behemoths of the world is incredibly insightful. So one thing that we would love for you to do is to try out her new platform. And you can use promo code BizGrowth to get 2 free months on the Wave platform. Now, I just want to let you know, we're not affiliates. We're not being compensated. We're just doing this for our listeners. So we have nothing to gain other than us as a community saying, hey, we're really excited about what she's doing, and we want to see how that platform's going to grow. So check out her platform, Wave, W-E-Y-V, or you can go in the show notes and click on the exact link for the Apple or Google store. And make sure you use the code BizGrowth. And for the first 500 listeners, they're going to get 2 months of free service.